Okay, yeah, throw him out. Throw him out into the cold. You know, don't give him their coat. No coats. No coats. Confiscate their coat. You know, you can't win. By the way, just to finish, I had one word left, Iraq. I'm out in the cold,
body and soul. There's nobody home. Throw him out the cold, get rid of him. Obviously talking about Anthony Scaramucci. Some friend, man. Some loyalty. 250 hours in the job. And to the cold with you, to the dark side, to be banished. And good. Look, you know, for the guy who talks loyalty, wow. That's all I can come. That's all I got. Wow. Absolute wow. And look, while all of this chaos and this insanity and all this stuff is going on, the hope is that, well, the Democrats get their you-know-what together and start taking these people who put Trump into power out, start getting these Republicans out of Congress. And look, good news for the Democrats, if they can capitalize on it, the latest fundraising figures are in, and it looks like Nancy Pelosi, as you know, head of the Democratic House, has raised close to $26 million. That's the most that she's been able to raise over a two-year period. The last time she was able to raise a huge chunk, $14 million, 2 years ago for the DCCC. There are people who are going, hey, we need a change. We need to take the country back. And here to help talk us through some of this, maybe give us some thoughts on the mooch, our good friend David Yankovich. David, thanks for taking time for us.
Always, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. So what do you think? What do you think about the mooch?
I think that I've been in meetings longer than he's been employed.
You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, you've got a president who talks about loyalty. And, you know, what message does this send? Because there's thought that, well, on one hand, maybe this was Kelly being, you know, chief of staff, first day on the job, this was him cleaning house. Or the other side, you know, Trump was just ticked that Mooch was getting the headlines.
Well, I mean, the one thing that I've learned about Trump is the biggest offense to him is to become bigger than him. And, you know, all the headlines, all the news, everything for the 5 days that he was communications director was, you know, his grandstanding. And, you know, I think that soured Trump and he got rid of him. But, you know, you're talking loyalty and everything else. And, you know, I mean, Spicer resigned ahead of this guy coming in. So he not only lost Spicer, but he also lost, you know, he lost this dude as well. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, I mean, we're seeing a president, no loyalty to anyone.
Now, I mean, I barely doubt if he's loyal to himself, which is weird. But here's the thing. I mean, you look at what, and, you know, you talk about loyalty, you know, no loyalty to the party because, you know, he's throwing arrows at the Republicans for not getting the repeal and replace done. And look, you know, he hasn't come up with a plan. He's done almost nothing to help move their agenda forward, as bad as their plans are. And thank goodness they haven't done anything on it. But, you know, it's interesting to me that they just keep throwing arrows. He keeps tweeting arrows at the Republican senators.
Well, Donald Trump's the Elmer Fudd of presidents. I mean, he definitely has no idea what the hell he's doing. I mean, that much is clear with everything. But the scary part of that is you know, North Korea just tested, you know, second ICBM this month. And they're getting closer to being able to strike the United States and doing all that. I mean, maybe it's a blessing that he's focused on his own party rather than, you know, international relations. But, you know, he's definitely asleep at the switch. There's, you know, I talked to Republican aides that have said that he put no effort whatsoever into any kind of health care, anything like that. You know, their next big thing is going to be tax reform, and Paul Ryan just met with everybody on that one. They're going to start pushing that as well. But totally asleep at the switch. He has no idea what he's doing.
Are you surprised that the Republicans are, you know, a good number of Republicans are saying health care is done, we're going to move on, we've got to get a win? Are you surprised by this? I mean, in your state, in Wisconsin, you've got Ron Johnson saying that, no, we can't, we've got to work on this. But you've got a good number of the Republicans saying, nope, time to move on.
I think that's a good message for Democrats to latch on to. Republicans are starting to see the numbers that we're raising. When I was running for Congress, between Randy and I, just timing the amount of the last person that ran for a year in 1 month, in less than 3 weeks, actually. You know, with, you have numbers like Nancy Pelosi's pulling in. Across the country, Democrats never ran with the numbers that they're pulling in. Of course, the Republicans are getting nervous. They're starting to see, like, oh, we're in trouble here now. We have to actually do something. So, you know, they're going to try to pull back. They'll probably come back around to it again, because that's what they do. But they're looking at a 2018 that's going to be a bloodbath if they continue on with the BS that they're doing.
I mean, and for me, you know, the reality is the other part of this is, you know, the tax reform that they're talking about, and I call it tax deform because there's nothing really positive in this. You know, I don't think this is going to help them next year anyway, because, you know, what I have seen so far, and, you know, maybe there's going to be some great, tremendous tax plan that, you know, Trump's got in a drawer somewhere. But from what they've already proposed and what their ideology tells me is that we're talking about more tax breaks for businesses, more tax breaks for the very wealthy, and, you know, deep cuts to education, infrastructure, social programs, you know, the safety net, you know, more for them, less for us.
Well, I mean, this is what scares me about the tax plan. We have this amazing, beautiful resistance that has risen up and has really stopped them on all of their major things. And it's been great. But tax reform isn't healthcare, and it's not as interesting. It's not as sexy. You know, it's not any of those.
Yeah, it's wonky.
And I'm really afraid, because this is Paul Ryan's baby. I'm really afraid the Democrats are going to fall asleep at the switch on this one. And this is actually just as big as healthcare, because going to do and fill the healthcare vote, you can still cut medical programs through, you know, tax reform.
Right. No, so, I mean, if you look at the Trump budget, you know, they wanted to cut, was it like $800 billion from Medicaid, which would completely undermine the Affordable Care Act and would, you know, throw granny to the curb out of the nursing homes.
Yeah, this is not the time to, you know, get complacent. This is the time to dig deep and really start giving them like a string of losses back to back. We're going into 2018 right now stronger than we've been in 20 years. No one could have predicted it. No one has ever seen this before. But, I mean, we're raising money. Our message is out there. People are engaged. I mean, if we continue with what we're doing, you know, we could pick up, you know, 250 seats in a house. So we have to really dig deep and just get through this next year and just take them out.
Yeah, I don't care, as long as you get to 219. You know, the reality being what it is. Because not only that, but
we're four governors away from having a constitutional convention that the Republicans can beat. So it's not just Congress getting out there with, I mean, every race.
Yeah, because I don't see there being a chance of taking the Senate back. The House is where the hope is, and defending those governor's races. Like where I live here in Pennsylvania, this is going to be one of the biggest races in the country, as you've got a baby Trump character running against one of the most progressive governors in the country.
Yeah, and it's like that, you know, throughout the entire country. I mean, this is the election that will define us. It's going to be, who are we going to be as a people? Are we going to be hateful, misogynistic, sexist, xenophobic, we're going to be, or are we just finally going to step up enough? And I'm ready to say enough.
Let me ask you this, because the Democrats have come out with their better deal plan, which some have attacked because it doesn't include all of the divisive social issues. You said a moment ago you have a message, and the message is getting out there. Is it the same message that the Democratic Party's pushing out, or are you talking about an independent message?
Well, I mean, we definitely have to go independent a little bit. Politics is local. So you have a national Democratic message, and then you have to have the local message from what's going on in your actual area. Like, if you're in Flint, Michigan, the only issue that you should really be talking about is, of course, the water crisis, what's going on there, or, you know, it's all local, no matter where we're at, you know. So, you know, I want to make sure that the party nationally has a strong message of what they're standing for, but also locally the politicians have issues that matter that are impacting people. And that's how we effectively win. You can't just go on one overreaching or overarching message of unity, or we're not Republicans. Gotta hate that message.
Yeah, I'm with you. We're less bad. Vote for us. We're less bad.
How about we're the party of ideas? How about we're the party of acceptance, we're the party of everybody, we everything included. We fight, we show up to town halls. There's so many better messages just pointing at the other side saying, yeah, we're not them.
Yeah. No, I mean, the reality is, look, you know, Trump ran on a populist message, ran on a very successful message of, we're going to make your lives better. And yet, what we've seen come out of this White House has been nothing but chaos and division and insanity. Nothing moving us forward, no major pieces of legislation, no policy. In fact, you know, the American people are looking at what they put forth, the health care bill, and they're repulsing. So this is, to me, is an opportunity for not just the resistance, but also the Democratic Party to take up that mantle of populism. And that is, we are going to make your lives better. In fact, you know, Trump just tweeted out today that corporations have never been more popular, have never been more profitable. Never. Never made more money. The Dow is going to hit, you know, great records and all this. And my thought was, you know, okay, well, that's great. Great for them. When does it help working people? When does it make our community stronger and better?
You know, I mean, in the old days, you had the Rockefellers and stuff, too. It's not new to have companies making money. What you want is the middle class to be making money so that the economy grows. You know, the trickle-down never works. You know, that's the most stupid thing that I've ever heard. You know, basically, you're in the middle class, you're in the lower class. You get the crumbs of the rich, you know. Ridiculous.
I mean, but what the weird thing is someone bought that. I mean, as a society for almost 40 years now, we've bought that nonsense that if we give more tax breaks and we give more to the wealthy, eventually something will, you know, will drop down and knock us on the head.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's more of a lack of a Democratic message than it is of people just being boneheaded stupid. I think that, you know, I mean, when Donald Trump was, we'll use Wisconsin as an example. You know, they have like, 6 mobile operations traveling in the city, you know, presidential candidate years. You know, I mean, I know that, like, Russia happened and influence things. I know there's a lot, but there's also a lot of things he did well during the campaign that the Democrats aren't capitalizing on and doing the same thing. So, I mean, who are people going to believe in these middle of nowhere places? Are they going to believe the guy who came and shook their hand and looked them in the eye? Or are they going to, you know, believe the talking head on TV?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have to put the work in. We have to get on the ground, and we have to, you know, start engaging with people in places that we usually don't go to if we actually want to come back. And I feel good about it. I do.
Well, I hope so, because, look, if the Democrats can't win with the environment that's going on right now, which is absolute chaos, which is, you know, self-inflicted gridlock, because, look, the Republicans control all the levers of power. They can pass their agenda. It's so bad that they don't want to go back to their constituents and go, yeah, this is what we did. This is why you voted for us. Isn't this great?
Yeah. The Democrats right now, the party, the Democratic members of the people who vote, they're doing amazing. The party somehow went back 20 years in the last 8. And, I mean, technology we're behind, you know, our messaging we're behind. So, I mean, there's a lot of room for growth. And I don't know if that's going to be something that happens from them, or is it going to be something with me and you and everything where it's organic, where we do it ourselves. Because the party, really, their only job is to get people elected. It's supposed to be a force to help, you know, get officials elected to office. You know, my job, you know, is to try to find every means possible to strengthen the party, to, you know, kind of assist them in doing that. So I don't know if the Democratic Party is going to show up, but I do know that we're showing up. And with that, we can take the party.
Yeah. You know, again, as I keep saying, on both sides of the political divide, please, you know, my Republican friends, take your party back where somewhere near sanity. I'm not asking for full sanity, just somewhere near the sanity line. And Democrats, you know, take your party in the right direction as well. Get involved, get activated, and move in a right direction instead of where we've been heading, which is you've got the Republicans who are in the pockets of the very wealthy, and the Democrats who have, you know, historically been going, hey, well, we're not them. Vote for us.
Yeah, I mean, I do see that happening. I really do, especially a lot of the candidates who are running right now. I know that if they're elected, the party's going to be forced to change anyway, because you're going to have a membership base that completely rejects the notion of, hey, we're not the org. I mean, you know, like Mike Levin in California right now, you know, he's running against the wealthiest member of Congress. It's one of the best races in the country. And he's running on a message that basically, it's not that I'm not their license, it's worth ideas. Everything, the gravitas of I'm going to be a congressman to represent people. I'm going to show up to town halls and sit them on all sides. And that's the kind of candidates that I'm seeing all over the country popping up right now. You know, Randy Bryce here, you know, he's not saying I'm not Paul Ryan. He's saying I've lived a hard life. I know what it's like to be a regular person. So, I mean, the party naturally, organically is going to change direction anyway, whether the actual nucleus of it does or not.
Last question I wanted to get from you. You know, yesterday the MOOC news obviously dominated the news cycle, but it also came out yesterday that President Trump himself, from his lips, came the dictated, oh, we were just talking about Russian adoption idea, which I got to be honest, just dumb. But, you know, not surprising. I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, I mean, just dumb, not surprising pretty much sums up my thoughts on that one. The thing is the president did something he shouldn't have done. And, you know, we all know it. He colluded with Russia. The investigation is moving forward. Everyone feels like a snail's pace. It's not history. It always goes slow. But he did something that is illegal. So every single time they get caught lying, whether it's Sessions getting perjury, whether it's Kushner, whether it's the president himself, it's always a self-inflicted wound. They're doing this to themselves. You know, Trump could have came out right when he became president, spoke to the Democrats, put a Supreme Court justice on the bench that everybody agreed with, that I'm going to have an open and transparent Russia investigation, and it hit everything the right way, and he wouldn't have taken all this damage.
Yeah.
Only the Democrats would have said, wow, he did the right thing. But he didn't. Came in, tried to obfuscate everything. He's trying to cause as many problems as he can. He's combative. He's arrogant. So, I mean, he's really just hurting himself.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because right now the line of attack looks like Republicans, like the House Judiciary Committee member, Trent Franks, the Republican from Arizona, is calling on Mueller to resign. The special counselor, because, well, you know, he had some conflict of interest claims. Evidently, he knew.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to obfuscate everything. You know, the special counsel, what they're doing right now, I mean, he hasn't grandstanded. They're doing a thorough investigation, as far as I know of. They're looking into everything they possibly can. Does the president fire him? Is he really that stupid? We're going to find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. David, I appreciate the time, man. Great talking with you. Look forward to having you back real soon.
Always. Thanks for having me, and hi, everybody.
Yeah, thanks so much. Our good friend David Yankovich. And you want to check out his website, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com, or just go to davidyankovich.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Coming up.
Listening to The Rick Smith Show.